With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get Go Cafe and Market, where they're open all the time, and all the time they're serving hot, fresh food. Like legit, like fresh food. Like, we're not talking about like hot dogs on the spinning thing, you know?
Roll dogs.
Is that what they're called? I've never heard that.
We should probably start calling them roll dogs,
you just,
man.
Just made that up. TM Ramon Foster.
Yeah, get you a roll dog. There we go.
Ramon, happy Thursday to you. It's the second full day of the Steelers training camp in Latrobe. And some patterns are starting to take place.
Yeah.
A little bit of news has materialized. Most everybody's keeping an eye on the quarterbacks. And I got to tell you, the biggest impression that was made on me over these first 2-3 days has been something that's so embarrassing to admit. But I want to get your view on this. As someone who covers sports and has covered sports his whole life and who's been down on sidelines and everything else, the other day it was Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller is the guy you brought up to me the other day. You sure did.
Caught a pass. No, didn't catch a pass. He ran a route.
Yeah.
I told you this whole story. Yeah. He ran a route. He knew it was a throwaway route. He knew he was never going to be the intended target. And he comes over, he peels away on that route toward the sideline in our direction. And as he comes past, I hear him audibly going, okay, now the first thing someone's going to think about when they hear me doing this is like, I'm making fun of Anthony Miller, or he's out of shape.
Right? Yeah.
No. This just reminded me in the most powerful way how hard this is, because we never hear these sounds.
Yeah.
You hear them as a player.
Yeah.
You know how hard everyone's going. We never hear them, not on TV, certainly not in person. Wow.
DK, it is a beautiful process, man, because you said, of course, he's running that route at 100 miles per hour just because he is auditioning for a job. This is an interview process for him every single day. But not just that, though, DK. When you brought that up to me, I laughed and chuckled, because year in and year out, that's not saying, like you said, to Anthony Miller's purpose, he's out of shape. No, this is the beginning phase of camp. I will say that no matter how much you've ran, you're going to be out of breath. And I told you the story. I said, DeCastro started writing it down in our camp notebook. The first 3 or 4 days of practice, you're going to be dog tired. Remember that. Remember it the next year, and remember it the year after that, because there is no real way in that you can get into football shape. Like, guys can run fast and run. Most impressive guy I've ever seen that didn't look like they were tired, but I knew they were, was Cam Sutton. He just breezes through. But then you throw some weight on him, meaning the shoulder pads, the cleats and the knee pads and the gloves and the sweat weight too. And you realize, like, you're exerting a lot of friggin' energy to go at 100 miles per hour. And it's about 3-4 days, maybe a week, to where you're like, okay, I know how to pace myself. I know when to, you know, pick my spots as far as going 100 miles per hour. But it's crazy, DK, because the ball didn't even come his way. They didn't even look at him, you know?
No, but they are looking at him, and that's they the are, point.
Yes.
And it's not even just the coaches that mm-hmm. are right there on the field. There's somebody way up high in that thing, you know, behind the goalposts who's recording everything. And now, unlike the past, the Steelers have multiple cameras shooting everything in all directions. Yeah. So nothing gets missed.
No, and you're right about that. You may miss that as a coach in the moment, but literally the old phrase, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. Okay, if you're just simply not giving it your all on the plate, they see that. And I'll just bring up this fact too, like him going that fast on a play that wasn't going his direction, guess what? He might end up getting that 2 days later in practice because of the way he ran that route and had that DB beat in those instances. So it's a matter of believing that it's eventually going to come your way, because the film actually matters, and that is a beautiful component of camp. And it just is. You don't think nobody's watching DK or it's all for nothing? And you know that it is. And I'll say this too. I appreciate you having appreciation of those moments. It's like, man, this dude is dog tired right now. And guess what?
To point out another thing here, it's not just the coaches. It's not just about coaches' accountability. Do you know who else notices if his receiver came open and he didn't get the ball? The quarterback.
Yes, indeed.
And if the quarterback sees you doing that on film on a consistent basis, mm-hmm. because you can't expect him to see that on the field. In this particular play, by the way, the pass ended up going to the left side, and Anthony Miller went way over to the right. I mean, unless you have, like, you know, is it flies that can see the whole way around? Yeah.
but this is also the other part of it, too. Sometimes that's just a one route concept for guys. Like, you're supposed to clear it out, and then you find the guy open on the other side of the field. So that is a part of it, too, is can you sell this to pull the safety or pull the corner or linebacker to the other side of the field? There are plays that are like this, and I'll say this, too. I don't know who the primary receiver was that they were going to, but that's the way guys become number ones. You know, those type of things that – You got a guy that is honestly a great decoy as far as the way he runs his route. You hear people speak about the route crispness and how they can, you know, affect defenses to make you look at them. That right there is a very valuable tool to have, DK. And the other part of it is, if he was showing his speed on that play, Anthony Miller, then you realize, well, look, guys, this guy's burning it down the field. We got to find a way to get to him. Or honestly, you can go to the quarterback. Hey, man, look, catch me on the next route. Like, that's what those plays are for, is, hey, catch me on the next route the next time we run that play.
But the main emphasis here on my end, and I can't make it strongly enough, is how hard it is.
How hard
it is. Because it looks like when you're watching it, again, I'm going to say this again, when you're watching it on TV and you just see guys doing this, but you don't hear that sound, and it feels like you're watching a video game.
Yeah,
you know,
you brought that up. Yes, it's not a video game.
These are humans out there, and they are trying very, very well. Anthony Miller was trying very, very hard.
Well, to almost every person will at some point, because you want to make the team. And that's why guys take it so personal. I'll be honest, when we're doing what we're doing, DK, sometimes critiquing, sometimes analyzing and criticizing guys, well, you don't know what happened on that play, or that wasn't my responsibility. Your reaction to what he had going on, it really honestly raised my respect value for you even more, because it is the appreciation of the process that they're not just minions doing a deed. No, they're actually trying to make it happen, and it's hard friggin' work.
When we come back on the Ramon Foster Show, another wide receiver who's also trying to make it happen.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Everybody's talking about George Pickens and Calvin Austin in Latrobe. I got to tell you, another guy that I've kind of liked out there, and it's okay to say good things about him too, is Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
Now, he had, I wouldn't call it a drop, but it was funny. He had a drop on his, like, the first pass that Mitch Trubisky sent his way in the first practice.
Yeah.
And some wise guy out in the crowd yells out, "Already?" By the way, it was the same guy, because I recognize the voice. It was the same guy who made the comment about putting put Pickett in already.
Put Pickett in.
Yeah. So
I wonder if it's the same guy that used to just act the fool in the crowd while Nile was playing.
Short ball guy. I didn't turn around and look.
I used to love to identify him in the crowd. DK's like, who the hell is this yelling so loud? Yeah, I used to do that. But go ahead,
right in the middle of this section. So so his voice boomed through everywhere and everyone could hear it. But anyway, but then Chase made some plays.
Yeah.
And he looked determined. And he looked like he was focused on keeping his feet. You know, it's funny. I put onto our live file on DK Pittsburgh Sports. We're doing a live file from every one of these camp sessions. And I put on there that Chase had, you know, gone up and come down to the football. And like the next 10 comments under it are something like, did he fall down right after that? Or did he stumble or whatever? And it's like, okay, no, but that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, he's a big athlete, man. He's got to control his body. He really does. And I say big because he's just a tall wide receiver. What is he, like 6'3"-ish, DK? 6'4"?
6'4", 6'4".
Yeah, and he's not like a rail bone. He's a thicker guy, too, at that position. And so, yeah, that matters a lot, the fact that you pointed out that he's actively working on that. When you just said this a second ago about, look, it's okay to actually, you know, give praise to a guy that's been there, that's working through something that may not be where he wants to be as a pro just yet. But on the other side of this, DK, if I can play devil's advocate, for him not to be getting that love early on simply because we're excited about George Pickens, Calvin Austin, wondering what Deontay is going to do. If he is absolutely right-minded, he take this what he'll call in his mind, because this is what athletes do. Oh, they're disrespecting me. They forgot who I was. We're probably going to get the better version of him because of that type of stuff.
Yeah, shut him up.
Yeah, shut him up. I tell it's funny all the time. I'll tell people, like, I find, like, the smallest, you know, the smallest little article or comment or the way people perceived me to be, and I just use it. I'm talking about not in a personal way against those people, but, oh, you don't think I can do this? And that has to be where Chase Claypool is right now. Nothing wrong with psyching yourself out to be greater than you actually are.
Yeah, you can do that, and you can also... you can also emphasize positive things. I'm going to read you a quote from Chase the other day. This was before that first practice. He said, "I just think, compared to what I've done in prior years in terms of prep, studying film, it's 10 times more than what I've done. I was pretty naive in the past to think I could repeat success without preparation. I've really taken that preparation to the next step." I'm going to repeat for you, Moan. That was Chase Claypool.
Wow.
Now, you'll notice that the only time anybody in that one went national that any talks about what it is that Chase says, it's when he says, "I'm one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL. Whoa! Yeah. And there was no other news in the league that day, so it goes completely berserk everywhere. Okay. And look, he has to think that. He should think that. He's a second-round pick, and he's young. For a draft pick, he has all kinds of ceiling. But Moan, this came unsolicited.
Yeah,
what I just read you there.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Because what do I always tell you? Like, the athletic ability aspect is probably about 12 other guys that have Chase Claypool type of athletic ability. But the separator from the guys that are just okay in the league and guys that are respected highly amongst their peers is how they study film. You know, truthfully, to reference another guy, that's the reason people started bashing Kyler Murray. They got to put in study clauses for him because why he didn't watch film? Because coaches know, look, the tape don't lie. How do I get better if I don't scrutinize myself on film? If I don't break down my opponents, if I don't absolutely know what's next on place, I praise Troy Polamalu, man, to the moon and back, because the rate in which he watched film, DK, is how we as fans and that as my teammate made those crazy, miraculous plays. It's because it wasn't all instinct. Okay.
Okay. You know, I actually just happened to run across one of those over the past weekend. One of those crazy where he shoots through the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Not over. Mm-hmm. The over is athleticism.
Oh.
The through is pure film. It's film, and it's during the game an awareness of cadence.
Yeah.
He knows what and when the quarterback is calling. And he starts. I don't want to change the subject here, but it's just so great.
We'll end it with Chase. Go ahead, though.
So he starts back like he starts building up his momentum like 6-7 yards with off the line
flowing,
of scrimmage.
With the hair
and
flowing.
The hair's out. And the hair's out everywhere. And you know that all these offensive linemen, like the Ramon Foster types, are down there at the line of scrimmage with their eyes bugging out of their mess, saying to their quarterback, Hey, he's coming.
Yeah.
And the quarterback's just back there going through the usual cadence, doesn't know what's going on. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It took everything in Troy's power to not murder this quarterback. He was actually a gentleman about how he took him down.
If you see him, I know exactly what. If you see him, it's almost like, I got you, I own you, and you really disrespecting me like this? So I'll just lay you on the ground.
Yes, I'm just going to set you down nicely here, and then I'm going to tuck you in after that.
And for your friends up front, if they don't respect me like this again, it's going to happen again. Okay. Like
so much of this beautiful sport is about the film. It is excelling is yes, so sir. Heavily invested in the film, isn't it?
So to have Chase make that type of comment unsolicited that way, it lets you know that you probably say, well, you should have taken it serious from the beginning, but it lets you know that he realized if I'm going to be who the heck I want to be, I need to dive in and be a student of the game. So I'm hoping with the addition of Pickens, with Calvin, with Deontay still being there, and honestly with the idea that Freiermuth's role is going to get a little bit bigger, DK, then maybe
question.
He needed to grow in that world of film study. So good.
No question about that. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
No.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Time for the only segment that matters. That's the Hey Moan segment. We're going to do two international entries because that's just how big Moan's getting right now. You know, it's becoming that.
I was with you until you went that route, man. This is really what we're doing now. Okay. International Moan, International DK. Here we go.
The Norseman asks, hey, Moan, I know you also had knee issues in the later part of your career. Is your injury anything like what Tyson Alualu has now? And should we as a nation be worried about him? And just to throw in here, there have been no specifics given. And knees are funny things, right, Moan?
Yeah, they are, man. By the way,
did I say that he was from South Africa? Did I do that?
Yes, you did. You did
just
say
checking.
That. Absolutely.
You even put a little South African flag there. That's nice.
Thank you for checking in with us, number one. Still a nation I can tell is around the world. But knees are interesting because you can work with it and around it and for it too, man. I'll say this. Gary Guillemot and Marcel Pastore. Okay, and I will not forget the training staff, John Norwick, Sonia, Dino, just everybody in there, man, are phenomenal with the care of the guys. Davion, cannot forget him either. And I know they got a bunch of interns in the office too. But specifically in the weight room as far as strength around the knee, listen to me now. Coach Garrett Guillemot is phenomenal in recovery of knee and like major injuries like that. I'm talking about he dogged me. He worked me. He got me all the way right as far as like getting my knee to fire, making sure that my VMOs was together, making sure that my core was good, making sure that my hamstrings and quads were firing because go ahead.
I just want to let everyone have the context here. This was in the 2019 season.
You want to know? No, 2018. No,
2018 DK. Season. Okay.
You want to hear something interesting?
And I watched Moan get carted off Chuck Knoll Field, and everyone's thinking, everyone, including
my
you.
My career was done.
You're done.
You want to hear what's interesting
about
this?
And it was a sad, legitimately sad sight.
Today is that actual day.
Oh.
Today.
I don't remember stuff like that.
I didn't remember, man. Erin, she's from Tennessee. She's a huge Steeler fan, man.
I know her. She watches too.
Yes, she watches. She was on my Nashville show chat today and said, Ramon, this day 3-4 years ago, you were on the field. And so that's the only reason I remember. Thank you, Steeler Nation, for all of that. But I thought I was done, okay? And I actually made it back for first game of the season.
And there was Moan sitting in the back of that locker room in Cleveland. And that way in the back corner for some reason.
Yeah.
And I come back there and you're getting undressed and whatever. And I hadn't spoken to you since earlier in the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you look up at me and you go, I told you.
I told you.
I told you.
I did. But that's because of the staff we had, man. And again, Coach Gary Guimon was punching my VMO. If you don't know, it's the knee, a ball, and around, it's those muscles around your knee that helps stabilize and fire and take, honestly, the stress away from those type of hard knee injuries. And with Tyson's situation, I don't even know exactly specifically what it is because I'm not in that locker room with him. But I guarantee you, if you look at his quads, I bet you they pop. And that's because I know for a fact that Coach Guimon is going to make sure that he is fully correct when by the time he gets out there and start playing games. So I don't worry about that too much as far as Tyson goes. He will probably get his days off. He's going to make sure that he's on top of his rehab and just on top of his strength and conditioning too. So he's in good hands, and I don't worry as much about a veteran guy like Tyson.
Yeah, it's about the supporting cast. Anybody will tell you in any kind of rehab, and by that we're not talking about the people. We're talking about the muscles around your knee. You kept referencing it. The same is true of most injuries, where what the rehab is focused on is not that actual thing.
No,
it's letting the rest of your body help it manage through, and that's what ended up happening with you. And ideally, it'll happen with Alualu. I don't hear anybody saying it sounds real serious, by the way.
No, and it'll probably end up being it'll be the small muscles that he's going to work on. He's a tank already as far as his muscles. But it'll be the small muscles that Coach Guimon and John Norwig and his staff are going to make sure they focus on. And also the core. Like I said, his abs. I know he's a bigger dude. He doesn't have the six pack, but I promise you there are some abs underneath all of that, okay?
Exactly. I promised a second international entry, and we're going to go to Matt Hanford over in England. He says, hey, Moan, as a British fan, if I were only able to come over to Pittsburgh once, which would you recommend for the best fan experience? A week in Pittsburgh for a regular season game or a week in Latrobe for training camp?
God, well, for you coming over one time and you mentioning that, I think training camp, because you're going to get the same experience for a week. As far as you coming in for a game, yes, you're going to be able to, you know, see guys and at the game. But as far as that up close, just day to day, you're going to see them at least 4 days out of the week, depending on when the break schedule is for those guys. So I'd say training camp if you're flying over for something like that. But if I can be real honest with you, a Monday night, a Sunday night against Baltimore in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at Acrisure Stadium. Whoo!
You can't recreate that.
I
feel obligated to shout out to Matt that I'll actually be in London next week.
Hey.
So I can ask Matt the same thing, except I've kind of been there a few times and really love the place.
And there's a really good Steeler bar there, too. I saw that when we played over there.
And I'm speaking currently with the Steelers ambassador when they were over in London in 2013. Carried himself with proper distinction as well, did he not? All right, Sir Foster, let's do another one of these tomorrow.
Sir Foster?
Sir Foster.
I like it.